Oh, that's right. Good afternoon, everybody. Hold on to your hats. I've got the county manager and the city manager. County manager Toby Chappell with us this afternoon. City manager Charlie Barino. They wanted to come on and support each other this afternoon. So I said, okay, I'll take you guys ganging up on me. But we've got big, big, big things coming down the pike here for us here in Greenwood. A lot of decisions have to be made. And, of course, we've been talking yesterday afternoon. We talked about the capital sales tax project, that 1 cent extra that we have to, if it's agreed upon, if they decide on some projects, we will be doing that. But I thought maybe we'd start out first, Toby. What are the parameters Sure. that this has to be put together under? It's not just, I think it's kind of been put out there, we have this list of druthers, and then we vote on it, but it does have to fall under some parameters.
Sure. It is a 1 cent sales tax that is applicable to most things that the sales tax are already applicable to. So there are exclusions. The biggest exclusion is food. So unprepared food, for lack of a better way. It gets into more detail. I'm kind of giving the layman's answer of what it doesn't apply to. But generally speaking, it's on items that are for sale. What can be used for, and there's a list, and if anyone has insomnia and would like to have something to go to sleep to, look at 4-10-330 in the South Carolina Code, and it lays out what they are. And there are things you think, you know, highways, roads, bridges, courthouses, police stations, historic facilities, water, sewer infrastructure, flood control, dredging, things like that. So it's not, you know, we want to paint a room in a county building, or we want to put new carpet in. It's not small things. It's big, huge capital projects, and these are things that are needed, and I'm just not sure that the city or the county would have any way of funding a lot of these projects through the normal tax base. So this is an opportunity for us to do some very big things that need to be done.
Charlie, how did this come about to, how did the idea develop to do this, start down the road, shall we say, of the capital sales tax?
Well, as Toby said, we have needs. There are many needs in the community, and so
I have a few too.
Toby and I, and you know, a lot of the elected officials in the community, they go to other communities. They go to York County, and they go to Sumter County, and they go to Aiken County, and they go to Orangeburg, and they hear stories there of how those counties have utilized the capital project sales tax to invest in their community. And you know, hopefully at the end of the day, grow the tax base and grow jobs. We had success in 2006 and 7 with the capital project sales tax to construct the library and make improvements to the Buzzard Roost Dam.
But didn't that one come about because we had to do something about the dam? I mean, that was going to be a big issue, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, but it's the same process. It's the process of you have a large issue that needs to be addressed. And there's no way you're going to fund this through a general county operating budget.
Well, the federal government was in control of that one, weren't they? I mean, if we didn't do something, we would be...
Yeah, they were in charge of mandating that the issue be addressed. So, and I'm glad that came up. So I'm sure that was one of your questions that came up yesterday. Let's go ahead and talk about that. The 2006 capital project sales tax generated about $45 million, give or take. And if anyone wants to see anything about it, all they have to do is go to the county's website, look under the 2006 Capital Project Sales Tax tab, and our treasurer has a wonderful, easy-to-read sheet, one page, that will tell you every penny that came in and where every penny went. So I know that there are probably some questions about that, and I can tell you if they will go and look at that, it will answer every question they have.
I think one of the big questions about it is there's still $21 million?
$21 million sitting in the bank right now, and if FERC called us today and said, yes, we agree, here is how you solve the problem at the lake, we would be more than happy to do it. And that's been our position all along, is we will fix the problem, no problem. All we need you to do is tell us what fixing the problem looks like. And it's taken us about 8 years to get to where we are now.
Now, you did do some improvements to the dam. And it was my understanding, they still have a few issues that they're dealing with. I thought the federal government was pretty much saying, you're right, we don't have that much more to do.
No, there was two parts to it. There was the earthen dam, which is, as the name implies, not the mechanical raise the arms, the actual earthen dam. And part of the original problem was they did not believe it would sustain an earthquake. And the county was able to convince them that, yes, it would. So that was half of the problem that was solved through that. I think that may be what you're thinking about. But that still leaves the other half of the emergency fuse plug that they are not happy, for lack of a better word, with the operations of that or the ability to operate that. So that's the problem we have yet to solve. And that's what we're telling FERC is, we'll be glad, tell us what solving that looks like. And we're more than willing to work with you on it. We have the money. We're ready to go. Just tell us what solving it looks like.
Okay. And yet you did take, was it $12 million some odd dollars to pay off the county debt?
The bonded indebtedness of the county, yes.
Okay. How were you able to do that? Just out of curiosity.
In a legal sense, or?
Well, I mean, right, since the money was for the dam
and
for the library.
Right. Because we were able to say, okay, there are three parts in essence to this. There's the library part, which we have done and paid for, so we check that. The earthen dam earthquake proofing, which we've got FERC to agree that, yes, that's a problem, so you can check that off the list. The last part is the fuse plug, and we are projecting that it will cost blank millions of dollars to do it. We had more than that already in the bank, so we were able to say, these are excess funds, and then take those excess funds, pay off the county's bonded indebtedness. That's how we're able to do it.
Okay.
State law dictates.
State law tells you what you can do.
It tells you
you could use it to pay off debt?
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, I didn't know that. Yeah. I know that there was a big question about, because I remember when all this was coming about, everybody thought we'd be getting a rebate on our penny sales tax that we had paid, and of course that never came about, Toby.
Well, the problem with that, Ed, is I'm not sure who has their receipt from 2006 when they made their purchases.
Right.
So it'd be completely
impractical. I was being facetious.
But actually some people did ask that question why can't I get a refund on my purchase? And my thought was, I don't have the receipt from lunch today. Who has a receipt from 2006 and a purchase they made?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just impractical to make that kind of rebate.
Sure.
So we looked at what is good for the entire community we could do with this money, and the answer we settled on was paying off the bonded indebtedness of the county. So I think it's a good thing. It's proven, I know it's been a good thing. You know, our public works landfill was really struggling with the amount of debt that they had taken on to buy things they had to buy. And relieving that debt has significantly improved the financial status of the landfill.
Okay. So I guess we've come back around to this again, and a lot of questions. You formed five different committees, Charlie, is that right?
That's
what
right.
are the different committees for?
Sure. And again, so we, as we had said earlier, we looked at what other communities are doing, and one of those that came up was Sumter. Sumter County has successfully adopted the capital project sales tax twice over the last 10 or so years. And they created a committee structure to further vet projects and really build the momentum of this effort. Those five committees are infrastructure, economic development, quality of life, parks and recreation, and public safety. And so we've basically followed their same model. State law says that you have to have a capital project sales tax commission. And so county council, city council appointed that commission. But in addition, the county has appointed five committees with citizens to represent these different areas to basically review the requests that have come in for needs.
Well, how do you determine needs?
I think the way we did it is we opened up the process. We said, if you think you have a project, you think you have a need, submit an application. And we opened it up to the public. So we didn't go in and say, 96, you have a problem. We, the county, have decided you have a problem, so we're willing to consider yours. We opened it up. We said, if where shows you feel like you have a problem that this could address, submit an application. Troy, same thing. 96, you know, Charlie and I sat down with all the mayors throughout the entire county and said, this is an open process. If you have a need, please submit an application. And I will tell you, of the 43, they are diverse. I mean, they are as diverse as $30,000 to build a restroom somewhere to $37 million to put in infrastructure somewhere. They run the gamut of projects. And I think that's how you assess the needs, not us doing it. Let the community say, we feel like we have a worthy project and a need that needs to be addressed. So we said, we'd be glad to look at your application.
So you have 43 different projects,
yes,
that are on the table being looked at by the different committees.
Yes.
Now, the different committees will be doing, they will be winnowing down the ones that they mm-hmm. feel have merit, I guess we should use a word. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess merit would be the best way to probably describe that. What we have done is said, committees, we will give you all applications for your committee. So we haven't selected, we haven't advocated, we have said, infrastructure, here are all your applications. Quality, here's all your applications. And then gave them some autonomy to develop their rank structure of how they would prioritize the list. So each committee will not do it exactly the same way as another committee, and that's fine. You know, all we have said is your committee is going to have to justify to the other committees, to the commission, and ultimately to the people why you rank them in this order. So you need to have that in mind at the very beginning.
You know, we've asked questions like, how are we going to maintain this? How are we going to sustain this? Where is it located? Because we realize that at the end of the day, we don't want to go through all this. The goal is yes. On November the 8th, the goal is yes. And so we're going to have to be thoughtful that, you know, the folks that live in Troy have got to be thought through, the folks that live in Hodges, the folks that live in the city of Greenwood. And so the committees are going to have to look at all of those things and try to, you know, come up. And we hope it's almost like a funnel. The best projects for the mix of the entire county will come to the table.
Now, are you anticipating five different projects then if you've got five different committees? Or could we end up with just one project? You know, just...
No.
Yeah, no what?
No to one project, no.
Okay.
Having looked at the applications, there is no one project that would consume 8 years worth of capital project sales tax.
So about the roads and the infrastructure?
There is one submission for that. So
just one?
Just one. Well, two, I guess, technically, if you want to look at it that way. No, I don't think you'll see one project, to answer your question. I don't think you'll see five projects. I think you're going to see more than five projects. I just think that's what you're going to end up seeing. And what we've said from the beginning is we're not going to say, okay, quality of life, you get the same numbers, infrastructure, and you get the same numbers.
Sure. Yeah.
We've said, let the projects, let them stand on their own. And if one group gets more money than the group beside them, that's the way that we let the projects and the need dictate what will move forward to the next step in the process.
You know, I think as you think about all these different projects and everything, we really have to talk some about where Greenwood is growing as far as growth and where we want the community to grow. I was getting ready for this and just thinking about, for example, Greenville and Spartanburg. Years ago, I'm not talking about in the current, but years ago, Greenville wanted to grow. They went after the industrial, they went after manufacturing, they went after the car business. Oh, that's another phone. Car business here. And they decided to go after that market. Mm-hmm. Spartanburg didn't go after that market, and they remained smaller.
Right.
They went after education, some of the less aggressive ways to grow. Today, Greenville is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Spartanburg is much smaller.
Right.
Where do we think we see Greenwood going? We know that change is coming. The South is a popular place to go.
Mm-hmm.
We end up with a lot of retirees moving into our area. I hear a lot of people saying, hey, I live in Greenwood because I like the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Charlie?
Well, I think we first play on our successes. I think we look at our strengths, you know, our strengths in healthcare, the Genetics Center, Piedmont Technical College, our existing infrastructure, water and sewer capacity. And we try to really look at those circle industries, those niches that we can focus on to help us be, at the end of the day, more diversified and prepared.
But how big do we want to get? I guess maybe that's my question. How big do we want to get?
I don't know that you can answer that question. I don't think there's a magic population number where we're going to just seal the county up and say, sorry, we've gotten to 100,000. No more. We're full. Reached occupancy. You know,
well, everybody likes their space on the lake. Everybody likes their space on their places where they live. Yeah.
I think the market's going to dictate that. I think if people believe this is a good place they want to live and raise their family or retire or none of the above, I think the market's going to dictate that. I think what we have to do is be ready to accommodate whatever it becomes. If it stays at 70,000 or if it goes to 150,000, I think we've got to be ready to accommodate that. Much more so than sit there with a clicker counting people that come in.
Well, I'm not really saying that, but I'm saying that every town, every community has a flavor that they're trying to be. In the Northeast Corridor, they've got everything going for them, and yet a lot of people out of New York have moved up and said, mm-hmm. we don't want the Walmarts, we don't want the big businesses there.
I think that, and that this really drives to the capital project sales tax, the point of the project sales tax. We are the regional hub. We're the hub of a 7-county rural region. And so we have tremendous volume of traffic coming into this community daily from all of those counties. And so with the capital project sales tax, if we have needs, why not have those counties to help us to pay for those needs? And that's the whole point of it. I was looking at some of our numbers yesterday. Our retail sales in the city limits have increased by 34% retail sales over the last 5 years. So that says to me somebody is coming in and doing shopping.
Sure.
Our prepared food, restaurant, hospitality sales in the city have increased 30% over the last 5 years. Again, so you utilize the capital project sales tax and get the folks that are also living from outside the community to pay for those needs that we have to help us grow smart and grow well.
Sure. Well, I just was thinking, if we want to become a Greenville, are we looking to become that big? Are we looking to develop within a realm of good size that we are in, we say 100,000, 200,000. Would we ever see 200,000 in Greenwood?
I think you could, but I don't see it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't see this, but I think before we got to 200,000, it would be many, many, many years from
many
now.
Many years. Okay. So, I don't have to worry about that then. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think I have to worry about it. I don't think pretty much anybody listening to this has to worry about 200,000. I mean, that would just be exponential growth. That'd be 250% of where we are now.
So therefore, when we talk about the services and everything that we need, that becomes the question as to how much and is a... I guess y'all believe that we need a penny sales tax added.
Again, I think you look at what the other communities have done, and they have been successful to utilize the capital project sales tax. It's not reinventing the wheel. Other folks have utilized this, and it's working. And so we have to realize that none of us want to pay any more taxes than we have to. But if we do not
invest... The federal government doesn't realize that, Charlie.
But if we do not invest in ourselves, nobody will invest in us. And that's the bottom line.
Okay. All right. So when we come back, we are going to be talking more about what the different projects are that are out there. And, of course, yesterday we did do this little survey, had people calling in, people wanting to give me their opinions. And we're going to be talking about some of those things. And I'm going to bounce those ideas off of Charlie and Toby here. We're also going to... be seeing what the different committees and how this process actually goes. I mean, they're in their first throes of looking at the projects. Am I correct?
Correct.
Yes. So they really haven't had much time to check it over.
Most of the committees got the applications this week. So, I mean, they closed last Friday, so I mean, no one's had them more than a week yet.
Sure.
So, yes, early throws is how I describe it.
Now, how far does, I mean, what happens next? Let's go ahead and discuss that. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the projects.
Sure. What happens next is the committees will then, and they've already started, they kind of had an organizational meeting. They will then start the process with the deadline of March 15th to put their priority list together and to say, we, infrastructure, advocate that these projects be funded in this order. So that's the next step. That's what we're shooting for March 15th.
Now, just out of curiosity, when you put this on the ballot, mm-hmm. You were saying putting the projects in order.
Yes.
Okay. Do we put down, well, we have 10 projects here. We've got three that we definitely need, and if we had extra money, we would do X, Y, and Z? Charlie?
You can kind of go that route. You know, the thought is that what's going to be first are going to be dictated by the most priority. Some of these projects that are going to be submitted are tied to decisions. If we get this, then we get this. And so these projects have got to be at the top because we, you know, maybe another grant's already been leveraged. If we can get this, we can get additional money here. And so some of those things are going to be set up in the timing. But as Toby said, it is 8 years, and they have to be structured out that way.
Yeah, I don't know that I would agree with the characterization of the first project is the most important project.
Okay.
Because there's, as Charlie alluded to, there's timing issues. There's certain things that, you know, you may have a project that's fourth on the list that we simply need 2 years to prepare to implement, mm-hmm. or it's not needed for 2 years. So if you were to somehow rank the 10 projects using your example as these are the 10, the fourth one, in all honesty, is the most critical, but is not needed for 2 years. Well, there's three projects that are ahead of it. So using your rationale, you would say it's the fourth most important, but in reality it's first, but the timing allows it to come in year two.
Okay. All right. When we come back, hey, if you've got a question, don't hesitate to pick up that phone, 229-7984. Call us. We'll be right back after the news.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. I do want you to know that Charlie and Toby just recorded their first song while we were off the air here. It'll be debuted on YouTube next week. All right. We're talking about the Greenwood County Capital Project Sales Tax. But before we get back to that, Charlie, how is the Uptown market coming?
Yeah, everything's coming along well. As long as the sun is out like it is today, we have great days of construction. But end of March, I think folks will really start to see it coming together, maybe into the first of May. I know I've got a lot of children out there that can't wait to see that interactive water feature turn on. Certainly spring comes and it warms up a little bit. Hopefully we'll be there.
And I understand you're already have events scheduled.
We are working through. City Council is currently reviewing an event policy. That'll be on their agenda in February to allow a rental structure for the Uptown market. And yes, if that goes through, assuming City Council approves it, we have a wedding reception that is looking as early as April the 2nd. So.
Nothing like a little pressure, is there, Charlie?
Yeah.
And, Toby, I did want to cover the money that we send down to Columbia. There's supposed to be money that comes back.
Yes.
And it hasn't been coming back.
Correct.
This year, is there more money supposed to be coming back?
It's still too early. You know, should there be more money coming back? Absolutely. There should have been more money coming back for the past 6 or 7 years, so... Yes, is the literal answer to your question. Will there be more money coming back? That's yet to be determined. You know, the governor, very much to our joy, came out in her budget and said she thinks it should be fully funded. She understands the burden that the states are putting on counties and municipalities to fund things by not fully funding the local government fund out of their own budgets. So I was very pleased to hear the governor come out in her budget and do that. We'll see. It's yet to be determined if the House and Senate will also take that first step. So we're very much looking at that and are very interested in how that gets resolved.
Sure. And then, of course, the road issue for the state is a big one.
Sure.
How is that impacting Greenwood County?
Well, I think it's like anything. When you have a project that is that large and costs that much money, you have to continually eat the elephant, a bite at the time. You can't go many years without doing some kind of maintenance, or you're just going to get behind schedule. And I think that's how it hurts us. You know, it hurts us in terms of just citizens having to get their front ends realigned more often and paying money for that. It hurts us to a degree in terms of economic development. You know, I believe one of the big CEOs out of Greenville has come out and said,
That tire manufacturer. Yeah.
Has said that, you know, he has concerns. And I think those are concerns that I hear in other meetings, you know, with business leaders is,
What are we doing about the roads?
You know, if your business uses roads to get their products to market and your roads are deteriorating, very obvious that that would be a grave concern to you as a business leader.
Absolutely. Charlie, the roads in the city, I mean, are we doing something? Can we do something here in Greenwood on our own?
Yeah, and we shouldn't confuse the two issues. One is how the state's going to maintain the state's roads.
Right.
The county is continually maintaining our roads. You know, we budget every year to maintain roads, and county council approves a list every year of roads we're gonna do our maintenance on. We're trying to eat that elephant a bite at the time. We're trying to take on, you know, some it varies, but 10 or so roads a year, and say, okay, we will do our maintenance on this group. And typically what we do is we'll say we're going to do it on these 20, realizing we probably only have money for 15, but we're going to start down that list and go as far as the money can, and then when it runs out, we'll move that group up to the next year and just kind of keep that constantly moving to not get behind on it.
You know, I think that's one thing that the state had thought was a good idea was to push it back to the counties and the city, right?
It's a good idea for the state, not so good for the local governments and the residents.
Yeah, that is true. But I just wanted to touch on those because then we get into the capital project sales tax and, of course, infrastructure, the roads. Our community certainly was damaged, I guess we could say, by the immense amount of rain, the flooding that we had. Is there a project in the capital projects to deal with the flooding? And also, we had somebody from over there in Avondale said that the sewer issue over there is a big one for them over there. That has been talked about being fixed, but it has not been fixed. What is the project status on doing the infrastructure, the roads, and with this flooding?
You want me to?
Let me take the flooding first. Yes, in terms of flooding, there is an application in this group to study the four watersheds that are kind of in the center and deal with those, study them to determine the best way of routing water through them so that we don't have some of the flooding issues that we've seen in the past few years. So assuming that gets funded, that would give us a blueprint of how to deal with at least those four basins moving forward. And then we can explore, you know, it has some money in for funding, but if there's more money needed, then we'll have to determine how to do that. But at least it puts some money in place to do some kind of remediation, advancement of those four water basins.
Now, did the federal government coming through with any funding based on the flooding that we, Toby, you just seem to clear your throat over there. Charlie's saying we got our check. What can you tell us, Charlie, first?
You know, it's been an ongoing partnership with the county. Both of our staffs have been working jointly together. You know, we've had a lot of little issues, drain failures, road failures that we've had to fix, a lot of overtime that was put in. But I think that, you know, we have to back up and look at the big picture. This was just an extraordinary year as far as rain, probably well over 40 plus inches in the county, but it's probably 10 to 15 inches over normal. The month of December alone, I think we were 3 to 4 times the rain that we'd typically have in December. And simply put, the community has not been able to dry out. And so every time it rains, the water table is so high that the water has nowhere to go. And so that's been a problem. And, you know, some of that we just simply can't control what happens with the atmosphere and things that are going on. But Toby's right. We're looking at a holistic study. A project has been put in with the capital project sales tax to assess a number of the basins. The city's working with the county and trying to identify some federal funds where we can hopefully clean out a number of basins and creeks that have some debris and limbs and emergency needs that need to be taken care of. So we are trying to do that.
Okay. And did the city get some federal disaster funds? Is that what you were alluding to?
We did recover some funding to pay for our overtime, to pay for some minor things. I mean, it wasn't significant. It was in the $30,000 to $40,000 range, I think, that we received a check from FEMA.
From FEMA. Toby, what's the situation with the county?
We're more or less in the same boat. I think we've gotten some money. It's been a lot of staff work. You know, it's been more staff work than you would think would be needed for, relatively speaking, those few dollars. So we've received some money. I think we're still applying for some more. But I don't think FEMA is going to come in with a windfall that's going to just magically put everything back to where it was. I don't think that's their intention. I don't know that that's really their purpose.
Sure.
I think that's...
emergency.
Right. It's more of an emergency issue. You know, if you have a pipe that's gone under a road, that goes under a road that failed and it's been there 30 years, I don't think FEMA's going to come in and buy you a new pipe. I think they're going to say that pipe has ended its useful life. We're not going to pay for that. So I think those are some of the things we're seeing, but I think we've gotten some money, kind of like Charlie, but it's not going to be some huge astronomical amount that's going to holistically change the landscape of Greenwood County.
Okay. All right. Well, on the projects, I know the telephones are heating up here. Maybe we should hear a word from our sponsors when we come back. We're going to be talking about the different projects out here. Stay tuned. Also, I want you to understand that there is a procedure how this goes, and County Council and City Council, from what I understand, they can only vote to go forward or not go forward. So we'll talk about that. Don't you go away. Telephone number 229-7984.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right here. Questions, questions, more questions always coming in here. One of the things we wanted to discuss was yesterday afternoon when I was on the air getting ready for this and getting my people's input, they were all wanting bus service, bus service. Who wants to tackle why we could buy buses, but we couldn't finance it?
I'll take the first crack at it. I think you just said it correctly. The capital project sales tax would be a great venue for buying buses. I think you could absolutely do that. The question is not, can you do that? The question is, what happens when you have to operate a bus system? You know, how do you put gas in them? How do you maintain them? How do you pay for bus drivers? You can't use any of this money for operations of programs. So I think you could, in the short term, make everybody very happy by buying a fleet of buses. I don't think you can operate it thereafter. And therein lies the problem, is how do you fund a whole new transportation system in Greenwood County? And I have yet to see one where the ridership solely funds these kind of systems. They have to be subsidized. So then now you're back to the city-county budget. And now you have to talk about doing tax raises across the ad valorem base, which is the homeowner base, to pay for a transportation system. And I just think that's where you're going to run into the rub. Capital project sales tax, definitely can buy buses. Problem is, I don't think you can maintain the system after that.
Okay, well, we've now addressed that one, at least for the moment. Now, what are some of the projects that are out there that that are going to be on the board to be talked about in the different committees? Charlie, somebody want to?
It's 43 of them, so obviously we can't cover all of them here. Some of the ones that I know are going to be covered are some infrastructure in 96. That will be one. Some infrastructure, water, sewer, and Ware Shoals. Some parks throughout the entire county. The Wilbank Sports Complex revitalization will be on the table. Implementation of the Greenwood County Fire Plan will be on the table.
What's this 800 radio hertz on this? What is that? I thought we had done away with our the sirens. Is this the sirens?
No. This is the radio that police officers, fire, and EMS have in their car and on their
body.
Our system, and I'm not a tech person, so I may get this wrong. Some of your listeners may tell me I'm wrong, but we have a UHF system, which is a kind of an older, if you kind of imagine it as a band of that data can go through. The federal government, the FCC, every year is making that band narrower and narrower and narrower, so there are less opportunities to move that through. What most organizations have gone to combat that is the 800 megahertz radio system. So we are going to buy a radio system in the next few years, and I mean few as in 3 to 5. I think you would rather do that through this process than to do it where only the homeowners in Greenwood County have to pay for it. So we just can't, and we cannot continue on this radio system that we have now. It is not sustainable. It has to be addressed.
Okay. All right. So that was one of the projects that is out there for a and that's an expensive upgrade?
Yeah, about a $4 million upgrade.
$4 million.
If you think about every Greenwood police officer, every Greenwood County sheriff's deputy, every fire department, volunteer,
EMS,
needing a radio on them, changing out all of those radios across the board. It's a big endeavor.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't understand about that one.
And we didn't, and radios for 96, radios for Ware Shoals.
For all the areas.
Yeah, because the problem is, if you know, God forbid you have some massive incident, say at Lander, and if Lander stays on a UHF and everyone else around them is on 800, we can't talk to each other. And you can't, that was one of the big things that was learned through 9/11, was that fire, EMS, and police cannot talk to each other. So that hampered responses. And it makes sense once you think about it. So a lot of the federal government grants that came out after that, they really hammered home interoperability. Can the different agencies and the different genres of public safety talk to each other at critical incidences? And if we go to this 800 system, we will be able to.
Okay. All right. That was one question. I didn't understand what that was. But some of the other projects that are out there, and as you said, the different groups, we've got economic development, infrastructure, parks and recreation, public safety, and quality of life. What's the difference between parks and recreation and quality of life?
A lot of these are overlapping. I think that somebody could say economic, you know, a park is economic development.
Right.
And so we tried to basically identify some definitions. And so we, when we submitted the application, said, you know, these type projects are going to go here. Quality of life was typically your historical renovations. Maybe it was the arts, things like that. Streetscape could go in there. Parks and Rec, again. Green space, recreation, active sports, things like that. So it was just a way to separate different projects.
Okay. So in the types of projects that are out there, I know you said there were like 43. We're certainly not going to go through all 43 here today, but maybe give us some of the broad brush strokes of it.
Yeah. Infrastructure, kind of like I said earlier, is, you know, wastewater, water, roads, you know, the things you think of in infrastructure. And I know 96 CPW has put in some of their infrastructure projects. Greenwood CPW has put some in. Metro's put in. There are a couple roads in it. So it's just what you think the word infrastructure means, that's what's in that group.
Okay. Okay. And for some of the other projects there, Toby?
Public safety has in implementation of the Greenwood Fire Plan. Charlie has a fire truck in for the city. The 800 megahertz radio is in public safety. So that's what you're seeing in that committee. Economic development has a few projects in, a spec building, which I understand was very popular.
It was very popular. Subject of conversation yesterday.
So that's in their group.
What else is in economic development?
An advanced manufacturing facility for Piedmont Tech. We have an economic development project that having somewhere to train their, not only their future employees, but will be applicable to others.
Don't we have one of those centers in Lawrence?
We do. ZF and Lawrence and Piedmont Tech were able to collaborate on that. So there's a model that's been very successful in our neighboring county of doing something like that. So that's also an economic development. Quality of life has some things in it. I believe some work at the Benjamin Mays Complex is in quality of life. Parks and Rec has Grace Street, the complex, the Will Banks Complex revitalization. Because I know when you and I've met, that was one of your big questions is, okay, the Civic Center's come down, what now? And I think my answer then was, I think there will be an opportunity in the future. This is that opportunity. You know, if people want to see better recreation complex in Greenwood County, this is the opportunity to do that.
So where do we draw the line between private and public? I mean, where is it that private industry, private individuals should be doing stuff, and public? Where do you draw the line between the two?
I don't know if there is a clear line. I think it's constantly moving. As we've talked about before, I mean, we're constantly comparing ourselves to other communities, and you know, you can like it or not, what Charleston does or Greenville does or whatnot, but the reality is we're trying to attract young professionals to work in our community and live in our community, and many of those young professionals have lived in other communities and have been experienced other things. And so if we do not have those amenities, a dog park, you know, those folks don't want to live here and they won't invest their dollars here. And so you know, we all may say we don't want to do all these things, but the reality is if we want to live in a harmonious community where people are investing, there's things that we have to have.
But is there a division between what should be private and what should be public? Doesn't government have an obligation to take care of the folks and, you know, some of these things? Is it the obligation of government to do all of these things, Charlie?
No, I don't disagree with you. I think there is a line, you know, a definite line. There is not. Public safety, infrastructure, water, sewer, health, those are obviously going to be at the top of the list. But there are many other amenities that draw people into communities that we have to have.
So government should get involved?
If it's driving economic development, then yes.
Okay.
It's driving economic development.
All right. You know you're listening to WCRS. We're going to stay over here a few minutes. I can't let this go yet, folks. So I guess the big question was about the spec building. And I understand it's about an $8 million project for this spec building.
Well, the building itself is not $8 million, but if you wanted to,
you are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. Go ahead.
The building itself is not $8 million, so I don't want people to be concerned to start doing the math of the per square foot cost and think. What it is doing the infrastructure that's needed, the road, the water, the sewer, the gas lines, the things that are needed, including the building and including a pad. That is what the application that we've received for the spec building is. It would build a 100,000 square foot building, have a 100,000 square foot pad beside it, and do the infrastructure that's needed to put the spec building in the county's North Greenwood Industrial Park upon 25.
Well, will one building do it?
I don't know. I will tell you that you're not going to see us come out and say, hallelujah, we built a spec building, we can all go home. That's not the intent. The intent is to build a spec building, have it occupied, then take the proceeds, build your next spec building, have it occupied, and continue that process.
Why can't private industry do that? That's the biggest question that came out. Why can't private industry do that?
I think they can. I think there are models that it's fully funded publicly. There are also models where there's a public-private partnership and hybrid. And I think those things will have to be explored. There is a role of only doing it publicly, and I think people could reasonably argue that's the right way of doing it. I think you could also reasonably argue that there's a public-private partnership to be had there. So I don't think either of those you could dismiss out of hand as completely right or wrong.
Okay. So now the procedure. You have 43 projects. Mm-hmm. We want to get to the end of this here today. And Charlie didn't think there'd be enough to talk about today. Okay. Okay. We've got 43 projects. We've got 5 different committees. Mm-hmm. What happens now?
What happens now is we have the application. The application process ended last Friday at 2 o'clock. The people that submitted on time have until February 16th to add or amend their application. We are not accepting applications now. That process is closed. So the committees have started. They're organizing right now. They're determining what metrics they're going to use to rank their projects. They have the projects. They got them this week. They will start having meetings between now and the middle of March to come up with each committee's priority list of how they rank the projects. Once that is done, the committee chairs of each of these committees will then meet and take more of a holistic approach, knowing that if this is passed, this is the number that we believe will generate over 8 years. What projects are we going to move forward? Those committee chairs will then meet with the actual Capital Project Sales Tax Commission to come up with the list. And once that list is approved by the commission, it cannot be altered in any way.
The commission being?
The 6 people that were appointed, 3 by county council, 2 by city council, and 1 between the 2 city council representatives, which is a whole another segment that we can get into, but it's the formulas in the statute. Once those 6 people say, using your example earlier, these 10 projects are what is going to be funded in this order, that list cannot be altered by county council, by city council, by Charlie, by nothing can alter that list. That is the list.
Okay.
What happens then, and this will be probably June, July of this year, that list in mass goes to county council. County council will vote on an ordinance to put it on a referendum, up or down. That's all county council can do. Is say, yes, we agree it should be on a referendum, or no, we don't. And then it will move to the referendum on November 8th.
Okay. And in the meantime, I know I read something about the Chamber of Commerce doing advertising and everything. Yeah. What's that all about,
so,
Charlie?
The key to that is that public dollars, city, county, public dollars cannot be spent to lobby for a vote one way or the other, yes or no, for this process.
For county council to vote on?
For the citizens to vote for.
For the citizens to vote. On November the 8th, when this gets on the referendum.
Okay.
We can send a brochure out saying this is the question, but we can't say vote yes.
Okay.
Many communities have used another agency. Sumter used the chamber, and so we looked at that model. And here have selected the Greenwood Chamber that will run a marketing campaign funded by private dollars to encourage a yes vote.
So there won't be any money coming from county council or from city government to the chamber to do this?
No.
Okay, because I mean that's an important point.
Yes. We need to be very clear on that, that once the marketing campaign begins, whatever you see, billboards, radio ads, wherever they market.
I'm calling the chamber.
That's it. you will not see any tax dollars to do that. It would be illegal for us to do that. So that is private dollars given by private individuals and organizations to the chamber, because these organizations and individuals believe that this is something that should be happening in our community. They're putting their own money up to do it.
Okay. So then there'll be a get out the vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for
literally
about a 3-month period. So from August to November, really, you know, that we really don't want to start any marketing at this point because we don't know the projects. So
sure.
Once the projects are hopefully approved by county council, there'll be a 3-month period, August through November. And so you can expect to see mailers, billboards, social media, and the like.
Radio ads.
Yes,
okay.
And the like.
You see how work does in there, right?
Yeah, right. Radio ads. Yeah, there you go.
And the like, encouraging a yes vote.
So that's the procedure. So then it's on the ballot in November.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We have to vote for presidents and Congress and all these people, and that's going to be one of the questions on the ballot.
It will.
If it gets approved to go forth.
Right.
Correct.
Right. So we're at the very early stages of a more than a year-long process. So we're in it.
We're in it. Okay. Well, listen, Toby, do you have sure. anything else you'd like to say?
No, I think we've got a good process. I believe in the structure. Charlie and I have worked, and our staffs have worked to kind of organize this structure to move it forward, and I'm very optimistic and look forward to seeing the result.
Now, if people want to know what the projects sure. are, is that open for people to see the projects?
Sure, sure. What we have done on the county's website is each step through this process, from naming the commission to naming the committees to naming the committee members, we have put it on the county's website. If they will go to the county's website, on the bottom left corner, there's an icon they can click on that says Capital Project Sales Tax. It will put all the information we have up. We haven't uploaded the projects yet, but it'll be up by the close of business tomorrow. So it's public. There's nothing that we're trying to hide here.
Okay.
Yeah, all the minutes, if you can't, I don't have time to go to a committee meeting. All the minutes are being uploaded of every committee meeting.
Well, I know the committees are already starting to meet.
Again, as Toby said, go to the county's website, greenwoodsc.gov. The city's got a link to it as well. It's on our Facebook page, Twitter. But the committee meetings are open. The commission meetings have to be open. They all have to be publicly advertised. So there's ways for the community to get involved.
And I guess you would want the community to get involved.
Without a doubt. Without
sure.
a doubt.
Right. So, Charlie, any closing arguments you'd like to make here?
No, this is a huge step for our community. Again, investing in ourselves, making sure that those communities that are around us help to invest with us. Isn't it great to get somebody else to help pay for your needs? And I think that's the key of the Capital Project Sales Tax.
Absolutely. Well, it won't be long till the Festival of Discovery is here. I've already seen the invite out there.
That's right. July 7th, 8th, and 9th.
That's right. So we got a lot going on this weekend, and it just started rolling, hasn't it, again?
That's right.
That's right. Well, listen, I really appreciate you both coming out here. Toby Chappell, Charlie Barrino, thank you so much. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. That's going to do it for me and us right here on WCRS. I'll be back in the morning. Bye-bye, everybody.